This is a Voyascape podcast. You can find all of our travel podcasts from around the world at voyascape.com.
I have had severe food allergies my whole life. My mom has told me that even when I was a newborn baby, she had a feeling that something was up. At that time, she loved eating peanuts. But she noticed that whenever she ate them and then breastfed me, I would get sick and end up crying all night long. By the time I was a toddler, it was confirmed that I was severely allergic to peanuts. This fact about me is something that people often comment on when they hear about my travels. For example, when I was headed to Thailand last year, my colleagues were like, "How are you gonna eat anything?" It's a fair question because traveling with a severe food allergy can be challenging. But the reality is that severe food allergies impact a person's life, whether they are at home or abroad. Today, I'm chatting with Ali Bon. She's a food allergy consultant who's going to share with us what it takes to build the confidence to travel, how allergic travelers experience different places around the world, and the common misconceptions that still exist around allergies. And for those of you who are listening that don't have allergies, yes, this episode is for you too, because it's pretty likely that you know someone who is living and traveling with food allergies. This is Curious Tourism, the podcast focused on making travel better for people and the planet. I'm Erin Hines, travel writer and content creator, and I'm joined by my producer, Katie Lohr.
If you enjoy the show, Erin and I would love for you to support it in some way, and it's really easy to do so. First, you can make sure that you're actually subscribed to the show on your favorite podcast app right now. And second, keep an eye out for all the cool stuff that we're posting on the internet, all the cool stuff that Erin's posting on the internet. And if you like any of it, send us an email or you can review the podcast on Apple Podcasts or Spotify.
And on that note, you can also get in touch with us directly on social media or by email. All our contact info is in the show notes. Welcome to the show, Ali. It's awesome to have you.
Thank you so much. I'm excited to be here.
Before we dive in, I just want to caveat that although food allergies are pretty common these days, they are pretty misunderstood. A severe food allergy is different from an intolerance. Food allergies are an immune system reaction to a specific food that can cause serious and sometimes life-threatening symptoms. And these reactions can happen even with trace amounts of an allergen. And I'm telling you this from experience. Every time I have had an anaphylactic reaction, I have not been able to physically see the trace of peanut that I ingested. So I know from my own experiences that it is really easy to feel frustrated and even defeated sometimes by the challenges that can come with traveling with allergies. Something that I've always admired about you is how positive an outlook you have about it. And so I'm curious about whether this was always the case for you, like if you always felt so confident or if it's something that you've like learned and developed over time.
Yeah, it's definitely something that I have learned and developed over time. I think, you know, each trip is another step sort of up a ladder to where you, you know, want to go next or your goals and, you know, hopes and dreams for where you want to travel. And I was always curious as a kid. I loved traveling or the idea of traveling. And my grandparents and my uncle did a lot of traveling, sent me postcards, but I never really thought about it as far as food allergies. And I think as I got older and started to travel more independently, there was definitely a lot of doing it scared, basically. You know, I was trying to figure everything out on my own and not having anybody else who had food allergies with me to, you know, sort of guide that process. It definitely took some time to figure out what I needed that were sort of like non-negotiables for every trip. And once I figured those out and sort of like more of a structure of what I needed, then it just got easier and easier. You know, I remember my allergist as a kid saying that Asia was off limits. Like, don't even think about it. Like, the whole continent.
So did mine.
So in my head, it was always just sort of the last, you know, maybe one of the last places that I would travel. But it was never a no in my head. You know, it was just sort of like, okay, that's not going to be an easy place. And, you know, I have gone to Asia and I have gone to the Middle East and I have gone to these places where people were just like, that is a no, like you should not even consider that. But I think those were not my first places that I traveled, and I really had to build the confidence to get to that point. It is definitely, each trip has built more confidence. And, you know, as much as I've, you know, lived abroad and traveled, each part has just been something where I have been able to sort of figure out how to feel more confident.
Yeah. I really relate to your comment, doing it scared, because that's me on a lot of trips. People don't see this, but like, especially in Asia, for sure, just a lot of days, I'm just quite scared. But you just, Luke like finds it really funny, because I'm always like, I'll never say no. If we're like, should we go to this country? I'll never say no. But then we get there and I'm scared.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's, you're like out of your comfort zone. Yeah. You've been told it's not safe. You know, there's all these reasons to worry. It's easy to have those moments where the anxiety kind of kicks in. There's so many things in life that we have to do scared that we just have to push ourselves through. And, you know, with traveling and food allergies, that's unfortunately been one of those things. But I think if you don't do it scared, then you're not going to go do it. You have to decide what's more important. And to me, travel has always been the most important. So it's just figuring out how to do it scared. And I think over time, it's really also improved because I don't really get nervous anymore or feel a lot of anxiety when I go to a new place, even when I'm traveling by myself, because I figured out those things that make me feel the safest. And if I have those in place, then I feel like I can figure this out. But it's taken a lot of practice and a lot of time. And not that I don't have those anxious moments, but overall, I think it's, you know, night and day difference compared to what it used to be when it felt like I was doing everything scared. And also just, I don't know if this has happened to you before, but I would get home from a trip, especially when I was younger, like in high school, for example. I did a summer program. It was totally out of my comfort zone. Did it with other teens. You know, my family was not with me. I was so nervous for this trip internally, but I was just like, I'm going to go. I'm going to do this. And I feel like throughout the trip, I had these moments of being really nervous, but made it through, got through them. But I remember the amount of relief I felt getting home safely. And I think that's a lot of the trips that I took for a long time when I was younger, was like, so excited to go, can't wait to have this experience. But also like the amount of relief I felt once I knew I was safely home was also pretty big at that time.
Yeah, I definitely relate to that, especially like with my travels when I was younger, because it is true. Like I started out like traveling mostly around Europe and like got comfortable there, and you sort of like push the boundaries the further into your traveling you get. And so I feel like now I'm really pushing the boundaries for allergic travel a lot of the time. I think I'm more scared now than I was when I was like mostly traveling around Europe. But I will say, like, when we came home from our nearly 6 month trip in 2020, did we come back last year, 2024? I did feel a lot of relief. And it wasn't that I was like always stressed on that trip. Like, there were times where I was very anxious. Certain countries like made me very anxious, but it was sort of just like knowing that I was back in a place where I had full control and knew that like I could just like go a whole day and not have to think, is this safe for me? Not have to have the discussions. You and I have talked about this, like how exhausting it can be to like have to discuss every day with people about your allergies. And so, but I think it was because that was such a long trip. It was just like so in my face every day, like the fact that I had to manage these allergies. So coming home from that definitely felt majorly relieving.
Yeah, that was a big trip. And I, you know, the longer that you're away too, sometimes it can get more exhausting, because especially if you're doing every meal, you know, if you have to think about every single meal, you know, like always recommend to people to, you know, try to pick like one main meal a day that you have to explain. And then the other ones, make it easier on yourself, you know, go to the grocery store or like have food packed, or, you know, do something that you're, so you don't have to explain your allergies three times a day.
So yeah, we've touched a little bit on the anxieties of food allergies. I think like everyone in this room knows living with food allergies can create a lot of this, especially when it comes to eating in new environments. And like I mentioned, I find for me, this is the hardest part, despite like being quite experienced at this point with like living with my allergy and traveling with my allergy. I still find like I go into mental spirals, mostly when I'm in more challenging countries, but like they do happen. And it's frustrating because sometimes like it's happening and I know that everything's fine, but I still like can't shake the anxiety. So I'm curious like how you have personally managed anxiety when it still happens to you and what tools or mindsets you suggest to others for coping.
For me, figuring out what my non-negotiables were was a huge help. So before any trip, you know, I'm not always the most planned. I love to have more spontaneous trips. And that's something that came with time. It was not something that I immediately was able to do. It's something that I feel very confident doing now. But it took some time to figure out what those things were that made me feel comfortable. So for example, making sure that I had all my medication ready, that it wasn't expired, that I had enough that I felt comfortable taking, like, you know, epinephrine, for example, and antihistamines. And for me, I also have asthma, so my inhaler, things like that. And just always having that ready. That was one thing that has been a major help, having snacks. I tend to bring a lot of snacks with me just to have as a backup. You know, ideally, I want to have a meal out. I want to be able to enjoy food as much as I can. I actually really love eating and eating out and trying new food as much as possible. But, you know, I know there are limits and I know that safety for me is number one. So if I'm not able to eat out, I want to have a backup plan. And so sometimes that, you know, includes making sure that I've packed food. So those things, you know, for me have been sort of some of the non-negotiables that I know that I need to have in place so that I feel comfortable and then my anxiety is significantly reduced. You know, for some of my clients, it's starting really basic, like just trying to dine out locally for the first time and try to, you know, find a restaurant where they feel comfortable, where they've talked to the manager and the staff and they, you know, become a familiar face and start to, you know, have some meals that they feel comfortable with and sort of build from there, like really small baby steps. So then they can, you know, eventually go on the trip that they're hoping to go on or figure out, you know, some people don't want to dine out, which is totally fine. Like you can go to a country and not dine out. You don't have to. You can stay in an apartment and you can cook for yourself. You know, there are definitely ways to do it without, you know, feeling like you have to necessarily worry about every meal. And so it's really like strategizing and figuring out those ways to feel the most comfortable for you and sort of like knowing yourself too, like what moments, you know, make you feel anxious. Like I knew when I was in Australia and my phone wasn't working, that made me feel anxious. So now I know that I need to make sure that my phone is working so that I don't feel anxious. But having, you know, having tools in place, figuring out translation apps that you have on your phone that help you to communicate or having a chef card that's translated so that you can easily show your food allergies to somebody in another language. You know, it's figuring out some of those tools that help reduce the anxiety and make you feel comfortable. And I think in the moment with anxiety, it's hard. You know, you have to really, you know, I've learned different like breathing exercises, different things to focus on. To me, usually anxiety feels very internal, so that I don't think necessarily people that are around me would know unless I was specifically like, I feel really anxious right now. But I think it's in your head doing some of that like self-talk to feel like, okay, you're fine. Like there's nothing that's going on right now. Like you're okay. And figuring out, you know, just the things that you need to tell yourself to feel, you know, less anxious in those moments. It can be really tough. It's not an easy thing, but I think you learn as you go with experience and just, you know, practicing in those moments that are really tough.
That's extremely relatable, especially the thing about like people not recognizing it. Like Lucas knows now when I'm anxious about a meal, but like a lot of other people in my life like have no idea, and I'll tell them later like I was completely spiraling at that meal and they're just like, what? You seemed fine.
So as an allergic traveler myself, one of the things that I saw you post about online, Allie, that like really stood out to me was this idea around focusing on what you can control. This has been like a big thing in my life as someone who's allergic to peanuts. I found it really difficult to not spiral around all of the what ifs. So just seeing you put that into words was like pretty groundbreaking for me.
Thank you. Yeah, I can't believe I didn't even say that. That's one of the main things too. I think it's a huge help to focus on what you can control because there's so many factors that you have no control over, especially, you know, flying is a huge deal in the food allergy community. You know, certainly it's uncomfortable to sit next to your allergens, but there are so many other allergens that people have besides nuts. However, nuts have become, you know, have been synonymous with flying for many, many years, decades. And so that's become, you know, the big challenge for people, and their anxiety is always very heightened if they're, you know, near their allergen, if they can smell their allergen, even though these things are probably not, like, it is a less than 1% chance probably that you would actually have a reaction sitting next to your allergen. I mean, it is not very common. It's not impossible, but it's so unlikely. However, having a whole plane that's opening and bags of nuts around you is extremely uncomfortable. When you focus on the things that you can control instead of those outside factors that you can't, like you can't, I don't know, Erin or Katie, if this has happened to you before, but there's, gosh, maybe at least 10 times where I've had to talk myself back onto a plane, not because I didn't want to go on the plane, but because I said I had a nut allergy and they were like, you are not flying with us. And I've had to re-talk myself onto the plane, like talk to the pilot and be like, I'm fine. Like I can control. I was just asking you guys if you were serving nuts just so that I knew so I could feel prepared.
Yeah.
But unfortunately, there's a lot of people with a lot of anxiety around the flying with the nuts. And that also creates, I think, some problems like having to re-talk yourself on a plane when you are fine. You know, I think when you focus on things you can control, wiping down your area when you get on a plane, you know, that's really big because all the studies, I mean, that's like the number one reason that people potentially could have a reaction is just because surfaces are so dirty. And like peanut, for example, the protein sticks to the surface for long periods of time. So it's, you know, and the airplanes are not very, you know, you've seen them. They're not very clean. You'll see like crumbs everywhere and you're like, that's gross. But
yeah,
thinking about those things that you can focus on. So, you know, wiping down your seat, bringing your own snacks, not eating the plain food and taking that risk. You can bring a mask if you feel uncomfortable, like smelling your allergen, you know, it could be there. Wear a mask. It's become so much more common now for people to wear a mask. So it doesn't even feel like something unusual that you would see anymore. You know, I used to wear one because of my environmental allergies sometimes if I was like near an animal or I had like a bit of a asthmatic reaction once on a flight. And that's when I'd said, start bringing a mask. And now, you know, I don't feel uncomfortable because it's become, you know, much more common, but it used to feel uncomfortable, but it still was something that I did because, you know, I want to protect myself. But it was something that you have control over. So there's all these things that you can control. And I think people feel really out of control because they can't tell everyone around them, like, you can't eat this unless, you know, an airline is on top of things like that. And even then, you know, sometimes people don't listen. But I found overall, and I'm curious if either of you have also experienced this, but I found overall people are really receptive to what I ask. Like if I say I have a nut allergy, like would you mind eating that later? Or do you have anything else that you could eat instead? People have usually been like super nice. I haven't had anyone be very rude to me, maybe once ever.
Other than, like, I've also been threatened with being denied boarding on one flight, which was very frustrating because I just felt that they, like, had misconceptions about, like, what the real risk was. Like, I just felt like they were misinformed. And this, I will say, this is the root of my frustration with flying. I actually feel very comfortable flying. It's not one of my big like triggers for anxiety. And I think like thinking about what we've talked about today, it's definitely because I'm just very experienced with it at this point. I've done it alone a lot. And I think I don't find it scary because there is so much that I can control when I fly. I completely control what I eat. I prepare all the food that I bring. I clean my area. I inform them. It just feels like a very controlled space to me. So even if my allergen is around, I don't feel like particularly scared. It's also the knowledge that like, okay, it's uncomfortable to be smelling peanut, but I'm not going to go into anaphylaxis from this. But yeah, my frustration is mostly like that I can't eat the airline food. Like, and that's just me being annoyed because I've paid a lot of money to be on a plane. And like from a social justice perspective, I'm like, you should be able to accommodate me. It's not that hard to like not include nuts in your meals. So that's like what bothers me. And it's also just like the lack of people being misinformed, especially airlines. I think at this point, like airlines should be very informed about allergic travelers because it is a risk. It's an emergency that could happen on a plane. It does happen. Although like, I don't know what you found, Ali, but like most of the incidents that I learn about are because someone has eaten the airline food, which they chose to do. So that's on them ultimately, or they ate something before they got on the plane. And so that's why I'm like, I can control this because if I control what I eat, I'll be okay. And that's been my experience so far flying.
I think a lot of people don't travel as frequently as you travel or we travel. Their first part of the process of traveling is flying. So, you know, the anxiety starts there and just like continues. But, you know, I agree. Airlines are definitely really misinformed. There's been so much advocacy and education that has been tried to be pushed upon them, and it is a struggle. And there is definitely a lot of misinformation, like even just understanding the difference between peanuts and tree nuts is very confusing to a lot of people. And you know, if we didn't have allergies, like I don't know, would you know necessarily? I mean, probably, but like a lot of people don't. And not just that, like then, you know, a question, and actually, I don't know if you've experienced this as well, but if you do let them know, you know, sometimes I like to pre-board mostly just because I don't want to hold up people, and also because I like to have my carry-on bag nearby. It usually has like extra snacks and things like that, and so I don't want it to end up getting put below the airplane just in case. So that's one reason that I like to pre-board. And I don't always do it, but sometimes if I feel like there's a risk that my bag could end up below, I will do it. But when I get on and I tell them that I have, you know, nut allergies, then the question will be, is it airborne? And I think this has become a very challenging question to answer because most people, maybe not everybody, like a very teeny tiny percentage, could very possibly have a airborne reaction. It is so small, like all the accredited organizations say it's really not possible. This is just from people's experience. And I don't want to say it's not possible. Like I had an asthmatic reaction on a Southwest flight when they still served peanuts. I am sure it was some sort of peanut dust or something that kicked up and I had an asthmatic reaction. It was not anaphylactic. My inhaler worked immediately. And that was that. So I'm not saying that it can't happen, but it's so, so unlikely. And that question, I think, is very confusing for people. Because what do you say? You know, like, I don't want them to not take it seriously and like let me on the plane or have them take it too seriously and be like, oh, you're a liability. They're not asking the right questions, basically. And airlines are misinformed about what the right questions are and also like what they need to know to be prepared. Like having epinephrine auto injectors in their emergency kits, they should all have those. Like there's no excuse. You don't need to have a vial that some random person is going to have to draw up when you have to ask who's a nurse or a doctor on the plane, you know, and they're going to have to figure out the right amount of epinephrine for whoever is having a reaction. Like, and that person probably doesn't know that they have an allergy in the first place because they're not carrying, you know, their own auto injector. So there's things like that the airlines just should do. They should have, it shouldn't be that complicated. But this is like so many years of people trying to advocate for these changes. And, you know, some changes have been made, but it is just, it's a ongoing challenge. And I think for those of us who fly a lot, those questions then can be more problematic because we're seeing them frequently and trying to figure out how do you answer those questions can be tough.
Yeah, that's the thing. Like I will say over the course of my years of flying, I do think that it's improved. I would say, especially within Canada, I think like the quality of flying has improved for allergic travelers for sure. But yeah, literally the last flight I took, they asked me if my allergy was airborne. And I was like, I don't really know how to answer that question because that's not like a valid question to ask. You really experience it on airlines, but you also experience it in restaurants. I find like often restaurant staff are quite misinformed about allergies. So I actually thought it'd be fun. Well, I don't know about fun, but interesting to talk about some of the common misconceptions or like common misinformation that floats around about what it is to have a food allergy. One of the most common ones I come across for sure is that a food allergy, so my peanut allergy, for example, is just a preference or an intolerance. Super frustrating. It's frustrating, but I also understand how people land on this misconception because there are a lot of people like around that have intolerances and preferences. And so it's sort of like a gray area. One thing I've thought about is that like restaurants should just get in the practice of asking people to clarify like what it is specifically.
Yeah, that's definitely probably the top one. You know, any sort of confusion between an intolerance or sensitivity and a real food allergy. Because, you know, if you have a sensitivity or just, you know, a preference or an intolerance, you can maybe not feel good after you eat that food, but it's not a life-threatening, it doesn't have any life-threatening potential. The food is prepared, needs to be prepared differently for those of us who have a food allergy versus somebody who just has a sensitivity or intolerance or a preference. It's become more challenging for restaurants too, because more people are having more different dietary requirements and changes to their diets. And like the whole gluten-free phase went, you know, that was a big thing, at least here in the US. And I think it actually, in some ways, was helpful for people acknowledging that people, that not everyone eats the same food and needs some things to change in their diets. However, it didn't help with the severity of food allergies or for, you know, people with celiac, having them understand that it wasn't just a preference. I do think, you know, education has improved overall since I was a kid anyway, but there's still, yeah, so much education that needs to be done. And a lot of restaurants in some of the, at least in the big cities, there's definitely more education and awareness. It's when you go to some places that are more remote, like we do a lot of national parks here, and some of the restaurants that we visited, like definitely not going to eat here. They have no idea. I will not risk this. You know, there's not the knowledge of cross contact. They don't understand that, you know, my burger can't be cooked on the same surface as the fish in the, you know, on that same grill or whatever. There's no sort of knowledge of that those can't be touching. And so I think that, yeah, there's definitely like, that's a huge misconception. And I think just makes it more difficult for those of us with food allergies to be taken seriously. There's also the people who say that they have a food allergy when it's just a preference, which is also not helpful. You know, and I think that definitely makes it more difficult for any of us who actually have food allergies, just because it's a lot. It is a lot for restaurants to take care of. I mean, they have a busy kitchen. There's a lot going on. It's not easy for them to necessarily take care of those of us with food allergies. They have to, you know, make sure that the surface is clean, that they're using clean utensils, that none of the allergens are going to interfere with our meal in any way or touch them, that the ingredients are okay. There's a lot of things for them to think about, and I don't, you know, I take that very seriously. Like, I always try as much as I can to let a restaurant know if I'm coming. I don't always know, but when I do, I always try to let them know ahead of time, because I know that it's not easy. It does take extra prep for them, and extra time, and I so appreciate that.
Yeah. The other one I was going to mention is, I hear this quite a lot, that, oh, like, you can just take your epinephrine and you'll be okay.
Yes. I do think there's also this misconception that you just take the medicine, give yourself a shot, and you're all good.
Yeah. I will say, like, in mainstream movies, like, allergies are often presented as this, like, trivial, funny thing, which, like, I do think has an impact. Like, I know some people who are very bothered by this, and, like, I find it annoying. I wouldn't say that I'm, like, it's not, like, my biggest battle when it comes to, like, food allergies or 100%. Other hills
I will die on. That's exactly how I feel.
But, like, same. I also, as someone who, like, has done a lot of schooling and, like, media literacy, I'm also, like, it's not a good thing that we presented as a joke. It is funny, like, throughout my life, like, I think we're both, like, 90s kids. Like, I was born in 1990. Most of my life, I was the only allergic kid, like, in the school. Growing up, like, there were no labeling laws yet. Like, my mom was on the phone calling companies and never ate in restaurants till I was essentially an adult. Like, it just was off limits because my parents were just like, it is easier to just feed Aaron at home. But, like, in the course of my life, I've seen this change, like, quite drastically. Like, I do feel quite positive about the changes that have happened so far. Like, I think we've made a lot of progress. But something I've noticed more in recent years is, like, the online travel community. It's something that I only found really when I started travel blogging. Like, I was always, like, so alone with my allergy, like, never knew anyone else. And just, like, I think that's why I think about it a lot more, too, is because now I'm surrounded more by people who experience it as well, which has been a good thing. But I also have wondered if it's contributed to my anxiety because I'm seeing more narratives around how scary it is, which has, like, kind of, like, made me think about that more. It's hard to explain, but, like, I guess what I'm saying is sometimes I worry that being part of the travel community has stoked my inner anxieties more than they would have been if I had continued living, like, sort of alone with the allergy.
Yeah, no, I understand. And I also, like, growing up, I didn't know anybody. My dad has nut allergies, so I and I think he is the reason why I have them. But I didn't know a single person. I mean, not until I was 16 on a trip in the summer where I met somebody else for the first time who had severe food allergies. I didn't know a single person my age. Everybody knew me as one with food allergies because I was the only one throughout my entire childhood growing up through high school, you know, so any, like, summer camps, anything, I was the only one with food allergies. I didn't meet a single person. But I was okay with that overall. Like, it was just sort of my normal. And my parents, I think, were handled a little differently. They were very much like, we'll do all the things, but we'll just make it work around your allergies. So, you know, I grew up going out to restaurants and doing whatever, traveling with them more around the US, not a little bit internationally, but my international travel really started more on my own and starting in high school. But since I was a kid, it has definitely improved. Like, used to go to a restaurant and no one really knew anything about food allergies. So you had to, we had some restaurants that were sort of like our safe restaurants that, you know, we knew the managers, we knew the people working there. And so those were the ones that we would tend to go to the most if we could, because they understood and they knew what they needed to do to make my food safe. And I think now, you know, now it's so much better. Massachusetts, you know, has actual, like, food allergy laws, and they are supposed to train their staff about food allergies. And they have sort of a disclaimer on the menu that says, let your server know if you have a food allergy, which I think can go sort of either way. It added a lot of education to Massachusetts, which is where I'm originally from. You know, it added a lot of education as far as people actually know food allergies exist, but it, I think, can confuse people who are from out of town and go there and think that every restaurant will accommodate food allergies. So many restaurants, not, I wouldn't say most, but many restaurants will accommodate food allergies and are pretty good now. But it did take this law to get it to go into place and a lot of time around it, I think, to finally get people to understand that. So, and there was, you know, nothing even remotely like that growing up. So it's definitely changed a lot in a lot of positive ways. I think, yeah, the negativity that I find is more online. I've been part of, you know, the online food allergy space for such a long time now that I'm very used to being around these articles and news stories and the amount of complaining that people in the allergy space tend to do, which was never part of my life, which is why I think it can be so hard online sometimes, because it's not how I feel about my food allergies.
Yeah. And I'm just going to interject and say, like, it's not that that complaining isn't valid. Like, it is. And I do think it's a reflection of people's anxieties, which are very valid, like when it comes to food allergies. But yeah, I just find like it's not particularly healthy for me to be exposed to all of that so much.
Absolutely. Yeah. It's probably not for anybody. Yeah. I totally get it.
Something else I wanted to talk about with you, because I don't know if we've like chatted just over DMs about this, but something that I think about a lot, like in terms of travel with food allergies, is accepting that travel is different when you have food allergies, severe food allergies. And this is something like I feel like I've been on a journey to like come to accept over the years. And I've had like difficult moments. Like I'll share one moment that happened on our like worldwide trip last year. We were in South Korea, which proved to be a pretty challenging country with a peanut allergy, mainly because I found it very difficult to communicate with people. Most people don't speak English, and peanut allergies, food allergies in general, aren't common there. And so I never felt confident that people really understood the severity of it, and that they were thinking about like every sauce involved with this meal. Like just, it was so complex that I basically got to the point where I was like, I should really only feed myself like here. So we were staying in places with kitchens, relying on 7-Eleven to feed me. So that was a trip where I felt quite sad because I just didn't get to experience South Korean food, which is very famous. And Lucas, for example, loves Korean food. And so he was just having the time of his life, like eating all these incredible meals. And I'm like sitting over there with like my rice that I got from 7-Eleven. And we were leaving a 7-Eleven one evening after like trying without avail to find me a meal that felt genuinely safe. And I saw this family walking down the street, like a family of tourists, all with street food in their hands. And I just like started to cry in the street because I was just like, I want to experience that. Like, I want to go to that food market and just eat everything. And it was hard. Like, sorry, I might cry a little bit. It was hard because it's just, you have to accept that that's not something that will be part of your travel experience. And for the most part, like, I feel okay with that. Like, it's been years, and I know that there's a lot to take away from travel beyond food that makes it worth it. Obviously, I wouldn't still be traveling if that wasn't the case. But I'm curious, like, if you've experienced this, or if you feel, like, sad ever about how, like, it shapes the way that you travel. Because it does. Like, it really does shape our travel experiences.
Yeah. I'm sorry you had that experience. And I can certainly relate. Since also having so many different food allergies, it's sort of always been a part of my life, no matter where, that I've just sort of accepted that, like, it's a win if I can eat something, but it's normal if I can't. It's definitely disappointing. Like, there's so many moments where I'm like so jealous of Danny, my husband, because I'm just watching him eat like something that looks so amazing or delicious. I'm like, I can't have this, obviously. But, you know, I guess I find ways, you know, I ask him to tell me like every detail about what he's eating and describe the entire thing, and probably, and I, this is not like I used to do this, but anybody, like whoever I'm with basically knows that they are going to be describing their entire meal to me. And then, you know, that's what I can get out of it. I can smell it. I can look at it. I can ask questions and try to like learn about it. But I sort of have taken the emotion mostly out of it because I don't expect it, I think. So instead, for me, it's more of just like, yeah, it's just, it's not something that I expect, I think. You know, I traveled to Vietnam and I wasn't planning to ahead of time. It just sort of got something that was tacked on to a trip. And I didn't have chef, you know, usually I'll bring translated chef cards and have them printed. And to me, it's a non-negotiable. For me, having it printed and be able to hand it to somebody and have them take it to the kitchen, that's non-negotiable to me. Like, on the phone is not good enough. Like, I'm not going to just show someone my phone and have that be, especially because I have such a list of allergies too. Like, I really need them to really read it and understand. Even like, you know, I also include pictures on mine. So if, you know, they don't necessarily read the language, at least they have the pictures, but it's still very important to me that they physically have a copy to use and to look at. And I didn't have that prepared for Vietnam because I wasn't planning to go. So to me, I was just like, I'm not going to eat while I'm like, I'm not, I had to eat, but I'm not going to eat any food out while I'm in Vietnam. So I went to a grocery store. I had packed actually a ton of food with me. So I was able to live off of that. It was not ideal. It was not delicious. It was not exciting at all, like the food piece. But I thought Vietnam was so interesting and I loved that trip like so much. I mean, I had such a good time and it wasn't, none of it was about the food. I mean, I would have loved to have experienced the food and like, I hope, you know, on another trip in the future going to Vietnam, I can experience the food, be a little bit more planned next time. You know, safety always comes first. So for me, it's just not worth the risk. And if I just have to stick with the things that I know feel the most comfortable to me. And if I don't have, you know, the translated chef card, to me, that was a no-brainer. Like, I'm not going to eat. But I totally did feel like I was missing out. You know, I was with a colleague and I was seeing her eat all this food and I'm so curious about everything and I just want to know. But, and some things I think would have been totally fine. Like, I definitely think there were some foods that I would have been able to eat. But to me, it was not worth the risk.
You saying that like actually tracks too with the fact that this happened in Korea, because we also ended up in Korea without, it wasn't part of our original plan. We ended up there because we had like diverted our trip and it made sense to fly into Korea. So we were like, okay, let's spend a couple weeks there. So I didn't have like the same time to think through, like I kind of mentally prepare myself before going somewhere that I know will be hard because I knew that Korea was going to be a challenge. So I didn't have a chef card on me. Like I was not prepared in the way that I should have been there. And I think that's like also what contributed to me just feeling so much stress there because
yeah,
I went in without the preparation that I normally would.
That's such a good point. Yeah. So, I mean, I definitely, that's why, like, as much as we can't always prepare for these things, like tacking on, you know, another country, which is what we both did. And I think both of us are adaptable and enough of, you know, have traveled enough that we know how to do it and do it safely. But it doesn't necessarily mean that we get to have the experiences that we would have liked to have if we, you know, had time to plan it a little bit better. You know, and then you think like most people don't have to plan anything. They just get to eat, which is like the craziest thing to me. Like I still sometimes am just like in so much wonder over just that people can just eat anything.
I know.
It's incredible to me. Like it is just like mind blowing. I mean, I know it's been my whole life. Like people, they can just eat. But like I just, sometimes I'm just like watch whoever I'm with eat it. Like, and they don't have to ask anything.
I know, it's
and
crazy. Just, like,
that's so amazing. It's not even like a jealous thing. It's just like I am just in awe.
Yeah. Like Lucas, like just walking into bakeries, like pointing at something and then eating it. I'm just like, boom, my brain is like, that's wild.
Yeah, exactly. Same.
Well, to wrap up, I was curious to ask you, Allie, from your perspective, how well do you think that the travel industry understands and accommodates travelers with food allergies? And this is like broad, obviously, by the travel industry. I mean, like everything from airlines to restaurants to tour operators. But what responsibilities do you think that industry members have towards allergic travelers? And what changes would you like to see within the industry to better accommodate people?
Yeah, that's a great question. I think that the travel industry still has a long way to go. Unfortunately, I think there's a lot of education that still needs to be done. It's definitely improved, I think, over time a bit. And some places are better than others. Some hotels are better than others. Some resorts or tour companies are better. But I think a lot of the time people don't know what questions to ask. They're not asking the right ones. And overall, I don't think that the travel industry understands food allergies and the food allergy customer. I think that there is a lot of confusion about food allergies and food sensitivities. I've had a lot of people in the travel industry confuse them or think they're the same thing, or give me an example of somebody comparing my food allergies to somebody who just has a food preference. So I think there's a lot of misinformation and a big lack of understanding. I also don't think that the travel industry overall really understands what benefits travelers with food allergies can bring to the travel industry. You know, there are over 33 million Americans alone that have food allergies. And I don't remember the statistic for Canada. I'm sorry. I don't know if you do.
I don't know. Okay. It'll be less than we're a smaller country.
Yeah, it's true. Didn't want to exclude you. but there's 33 million Americans that have food allergies, and that's a lot of customers potentially that could go to your hotel, go to your restaurant, take your tour. But if you don't know how to manage that safely, first of all, you don't really want to take that on if you don't know how to do it safely. So there's some places that just don't want to manage that at all. And a lot of places, I think, don't see the benefit. Food allergy travelers, customers in general, are very loyal. You know, if they know that somewhere is going to accommodate them, they want to go back there. They want to support that company, that hotel, that airline. And so it's really just unfortunate, I think, that there are, you know, that it's a whole industry that really doesn't understand that, that can be beneficial, that they can really take a lot from both helping people that have food allergies and also, you know, win in the end as well, because they'll get their support in there, you know, and get more customers. And, you know, even just working with, you know, I've worked with a number of tourism boards. I've worked with some hotel chains trying to educate, and it's hard. And there's just like very small things that people could do, like really tiny changes that could be made that would make such an impactful and such an impact and such a big difference to people with food allergies, but they don't seem very open to it. And it's, you know, accessibility has been like a huge, like, sort of, you know, word in the travel space lately, sort of a buzzword. But food allergies don't really get put into accessibility. They sort of get talked about with like more of like an inclusivity, but not really. It's sort of like there's not really a category that it fits in exactly. And so it just sort of gets left out of the whole conversation. And so I think it's hard to figure out how, you know, I've tried so many different angles of trying to get into this space of like helping to educate the travel industry. And I feel like there's a resistance there, and they don't see the power of it and what we can bring as food allergy travelers, and also what they can, you know, how they can help and what it brings for them as well.
It's really interesting, like this gap where they don't seem to understand how much an allergic traveler in a group will factor into decision making, because this is also something I've talked with tourism boards about. It's like, it's not just accommodating me, you're accommodating everyone that I'm traveling with, because my allergies will dictate where we eat and sometimes where we stay and what tours we book for the entire group. And it's the same even just like day-to-day here in Toronto. Like if I'm going out for dinner with my group of friends, we're choosing a restaurant that can accommodate me. And we will go back to those restaurants over and over. Like yeah. I have like a collection of restaurants that I regularly go to in Toronto because I know that they can accommodate me. And it's so obvious to us, that value. It's But it's this weird gap where you can't communicate that to them and they don't seem to understand it, that these like small adjustments would really like bring in that value of loyalty, because allergic people are extremely loyal. And it's not just with chefs. Like, I've also found when I'm flying, like one time I was flying Virgin back from the UK, and I'll never forget this. The flight staff, I had disclosed my allergy, and they were aware that I wouldn't eat any of the airline food, but they went through their own like lunch bags that they had brought looking for labeled snacks and fruit. And they came to me throughout the flight. They were like, we had this, like, would you like this? Like, it says it's safe. The whole flight they were doing this. The whole flight they were coming to me, offering me drinks, like whatever they could offer me, they were offering. And like, moments like that are so uplifting and just make you feel so like validated and cared for. And it's such a small thing, but it makes such a difference for an allergic person. That's been my experience, at least.
Yeah, absolutely. That's such a good point. That's so nice of them.
Yeah.
I've never had that on a plate. I've had some staff be like very nice about the allergies, but I have not really had anyone try. They've tried with like different airline snacks. But anyway, that's like a whole step above. Very impressive.
Yeah.
Good job to them.
Yeah. One time in my years and years of flying.
Thanks for listening to Curious Tourism. If you enjoyed this episode, don't forget to share it with a fellow traveler. If you're feeling extra generous, you can leave us a 5-star review or support us on Patreon. Anything you can do to support the show will help foster meaningful change throughout the travel industry. Curious Tourism is written and hosted by me, Erin Hines, and it's produced and edited by Katie Lohr in Canada's Toronto area. If you want to reach out to us, check the show notes for all the info you need. Stay tuned for a new episode next month, and of course, stay curious. If you're short on time but you love to travel, the Travel in 10 podcast is perfect for you. Hosts David Brody and Tim Johnson bring decades of experience having traveled to all 7 continents. Each week, they spotlight a different place around the globe with expert tips and inspiring stories to fuel your next adventure. You can listen now at voyescape.com.
Travel has changed a lot since my father wrote Europe on $5 a day, but our mission hasn't. I'm Pauline Frommer of the Frommer Travel Guides, and on the Frommer's Travel Show, I share practical advice, meaningful stories, and conversations with some of the most trusted names in the industry. If you're looking for ways to travel smarter and bring the world closer, I've got you covered. New episodes weekly at voyescape.com.